As we now turn to God's word this morning, let us first turn to God in prayer. Let us pray. Loving God, shine a light, we pray, on the words of scripture and sermon. Shine a light into our hearts. Shine a light that gets our attention and helps us find our way to you. We pray through Christ, the light of the world. Amen. Our scripture lesson comes from the book of Psalms this morning. I'm going to be reading Psalm 8. We're going to read about the psalmist's experience of finding God's handiwork in the grandiosity of the universe and in the seeming insignificance of human beings. So whether we find God in the big summer fireworks that dazzle and evoke our wonder and awe, or the tiny flickering fireflies that light up our yards, what is our response and what is our responsibility? These are the questions we are listening for as we listen to God's word today. O Lord, our sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouths of babes and infants, you have founded a bulwark because of your foes, to silence the enemy and the avenger. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you have established, what are human beings that you are mindful of them? Mortals, that you care for them. Yet you have made them a little lower than God and crowned them with glory and honor. You have given them dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under their feet, all sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the seas. O Lord, our sovereign, how majestic is your name through all the earth. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You never know when or where you might encounter the majesty of God. For Barbara Kingsolver and her family, it happened in the middle of an Ohio cornfield. They were visiting the dairy farm of some friends, taking an evening tour of the farm in their hybrid car. Barbara writes it was dark by the time they headed back through the cornfield to Elsie and David's house. At the low speeds they were driving, the car ran solely on its battery, so it was spookily quiet, as if the engine had died, but they were still rolling along. We could hear night birds and the trees softly, and the tires softly grinding dust as we turned into the road, Barbara writes. Stop here, David said suddenly. Pull ahead a little, so the headlights are pointing up into the field. Now turn off the headlights. Barbara says the field sparkled with what must have been millions of fireflies, the most she'd ever seen in one place. They blinked densely, randomly, back at them like an eye full of frenzied stars. Just try something, David said. Flash the headlights one time, on and off. What happened next was surreal. After their bright flash, the field went black, and then, like a wave, a million lights flashed back at them in unison. Whoa! To convince themselves this was not a collective hallucination, they did it again and again and again, hooting every time. After five or six rounds, the fireflies went back to their own blinky business, and David chuckled. Country kid fireworks. For Barbara and her family, This experience evoked a woe and moved them to wonder. An ordinary moment became magical when they quite unwittingly became the eyewitnesses of something like majesty. For the psalmist, it happened when looking up into the night sky, gazing at the celestial display of the moon and stars, watching and listening and discovering in his heart the holiness of it all. This brings the psalmist to a place of awe and wonder that spills out in this psalm of praise. Psalm 8 is the longest expression of praise directed to God in the Old Testament. It is as if the psalmist can't contain the wonder he feels when he stops to think that God brings creation out of chaos and rules over all that God has made in love and generosity. Woe! O Lord, our sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth. But the psalmist doesn't stop there. The experience of wonder and the expression of praise back to God leads the psalmist straight to a question. What are human beings that you are mindful of them? Mortals that you care for them? It's as if the psalmist is suddenly astounded that given the grandiosity of God's creation and the scope of all living things, that mere mortals would be noticed by God. If you've ever stood at the rim of the Grand Canyon or on top of a mountain, if you've ever looked at the shoreline from a boat in the middle of a river or the ocean, if you've ever had your breath taken away by the birth of a child or a stunningly beautiful piece of music, if you've ever received an unexpected gift or been delivered from imminent peril, you know something of this experience. A number of years ago, Jack and I took our children to New York City. We were living in Princeton, New Jersey at the time, so we took a train that brought us to Grand Central Station underground. Making our way through the throngs of people, we got onto the escalator that carried us to the city above. I'll never forget little Lindsay's face when she stepped out of the stairwell and onto the streets of New York City. Gazing up at the tall buildings, she said, "I feel so small." Right. That's what happens for the psalmist when he considers his own place in the universe. What are human beings that you are mindful of them? Mortals that you care for them? I feel so small. But the psalmist doesn't stop there. Yet, he continues, you have made them a little lower than the angels. That word yet is a stopper. There is more than being moved to praise by the wonder of God's majesty, and there is more than the experience of humility that comes from seeing one's own place of relative insignificance in the grand and glorious scheme of things, and being noticed by God nonetheless. There is the even more incredible realization that God would crown mere mortals with glory and honor, giving them dominion over the works of God's hands. The psalmist talks about people using the same words he used to describe God. We are made a little lower than God and crowned with glory and honor and given dominion over the works of God's hands. These are words about rule and power and authority and governance. Kings and queens wear crowns, right? So did Jesus. But his was a crown of thorns. The royalty, the sovereignty that Jesus brought to life in the world is the rule of God's kingdom of mercy and justice and love. When Jesus exercised dominion over the works of God's hands, it brought food to the hungry, forgiveness to sinners, attention to those overlooked, welcome to those left out, and challenge to those in positions of power, whether in the temple or in the palace. And this rule, this reign of Christ, was motivated by and directed toward the care healing and salvation of all creation. This is what drew people to Jesus. This is what made people drop everything to follow him. It's also why some put up their defenses and refused to trust him at all. This psalm raises the question of what we do with our praise. How the wonder, awe, and love we experience in and through Jesus Christ finds expression in our lives. And this morning, I'd like us to consider fireworks and fireflies as the ordinary things that help us and our world find God in our praise. This coming week, there will be plenty of fireworks. As you gather with family and friends and in the company of strangers, as showers of shimmering sparks loudly splash, an awesome array of colors and shapes in the canvas of the night sky, as you join in the collective sigh, as the spontaneous oohs and ahs ripple through the crowd, go ahead and say thanks to your Creator. Go ahead and say wow to the God who made it all. Go ahead and give God praise for the awe and wonder that well up in you. But don't stop there. Don't stop until your praise finds expression in your humility. You may be crowned with glory and honor, but that is no excuse to put yourself in the center of the universe. That place belongs to the triune God alone. From your place, a little lower than the angels, perhaps you could see where your dominion can help somebody else know that they are loved by God. Maybe your praise could find expression in a random act of kindness, or an unexpected, even undeserved, word of forgiveness, or a spontaneous gesture of generosity toward a stranger. Go ahead and say thanks. Go ahead and say wow. Go ahead and say you are loved. In all of these ways, let your praise to God find expression, but don't stop there. Some would say that we human beings are not doing such a good job with this whole dominion business. Some would say that we face big, insurmountable problems that are like millions of fireflies blinking on and off, on and off, on and off. These problems distract and disturb us, and they may get our attention for a while, and we may chase them, try to catch them and contain them, but we never do succeed. And then there is the squabbling and complaining shot like rockets into the atmosphere of our collective life, bombardments of thunder and light that vibrate through the smoky air of our rancor and public discourse, with occasional bursts of beauty and hope. Heaven knows, the world needs people of faith to come together, our voices and actions united to bring hope and healing. Remember those fireflies in the cornfield who blinked back in unison and evoked a woe that moved into wonder? Wouldn't it be amazing if the movement of our praise would not just shine a light back up to God, but would also reflect back out to the hurts and brokenness of our world the light we find in Jesus? Imagine how it could evoke a woe. Instead of arguing about whose perspective is right or complaining about those we consider to be the problem or lamenting the moral failures and shortcomings of others, we would summon our own moral will to beam light and love into the spheres of our dominion. This past Friday night, Jack and I went to see the newly released documentary about Fred Rogers. Won't You Be My Neighbor? Tells the story of the soft-spoken, cardigan-wearing children's television host who beamed light and love into children for over 30 years. Mr. Rogers was a Presbyterian minister who cared deeply about children. He used puppets songs, and make-believe to speak directly to children about the things that weighed on them. TV was his tool, and he used it as a positive force. Now, I have my own set of memories of Mr. Rogers. I'm sure you do as well, both from my own childhood as well as the childhood of my children. But watching now, through the perspective of the documentary, I could see that it wasn't just the topics he addressed or what he said about them. It was the questions he asked and how he listened and smiled and took his time. It was the posture that came from remembering what it felt like to be a child, and the empathy with which he put himself right there with them, as a grown-up whose love could be trusted. After 9/11, Mr. Rogers, like the most of us, felt despair. Convinced to come out of retirement to tape several segments that would speak to children about what we were collectively going through, he admitted, "I just don't know what good this is going to do." And then on camera, he used a phrase from the Hebrew scriptures, saying that we are all called to be tikkun olam, repairers of creation. That he was, and that we can be when our praise not only returns to its source, but also shines out from us as we go about our own blinky business. In the vulnerability and empathy that helps others know that they are not alone, that this amazingly beautiful world has not been abandoned by the one who created it, that God has entrusted it all into our hands. In all of the ways, both large and small, that we care within the spheres of our dominion, may God's name be praised. O Lord, our Sovereign, how majestic is your name through all the earth. Thanks be to God. Amen.